see see who's on here. What's going on?
Nice. Yeah, I try to come in at around 10 o'clock Monday through Thursday for about an hour. So that's cool. That's great. What do you do for work?
I work at a boat shop.
Okay.
Here in Colorado.
And you're, Colorado. Okay. Yeah. Is your camera available or no?
Yeah, it is. But with people coming in and out, I turn it off.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. That's excellent. So the first thing I always ask people is, do you know anyone in Colorado with the coronavirus?
Test positive? No. Okay. I do know people that had all the signs, but this was way back at the end of January, beginning of February, before it was even mainstream news.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend that had it. She was down and out 2 weeks, but she's a retired chiropractor and took care of it herself, basically. Had okay. the blue feet, the chest, the shortness of breath, all of it.
Right, right.
Wow. And she's in that age group. She's in the mid-60s.
Yeah, so what is your state looking like in terms of being locked down? And are you guys opening up starting to? Or what's it looking like there?
yeah, we're at the safer at home, but
yeah.
I guess Polis just said that he's kind of turning it back over to the counties, but the health departments of our counties are still, and where I live, we're in the southwest corner, so we're real close to the reservation, which is a high.
Okay.
They're having a high number.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I ask everyone the first time I meet them in here, and you know, the majority of people say, I don't even think there's been one or two people that have known anyone yet that has had coronavirus. Like, there's a lady in Italy who was just on a couple of days ago, Sylvia, I think. And allegedly, Italy is, you know, rampant with coronavirus, and she doesn't know anybody with it or doesn't know anybody that knows anybody. You know, that's wild.
But yeah, we've kind of made national news because we just had a gentleman, I think he was homeless, but passed away in the park. And the coroner said basically from alcohol poisoning, but he happened to have the coronavirus and the state knocked us up one. And he goes, no. So he fought with them. And
wow.
So they're padding the numbers.
Yeah. You see that everywhere, don't you? You know, all these people that have underlying issues are being, and then that lady came out on, I think she was a lady from the NIH or something that was saying that that's what they're doing. She just came out right out and said it, you know, they're padding the numbers.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Are you worried about it at all? Or are you, you guys are doing great. Yeah. Yeah. I'm that way too. I don't wear a mask. I don't worry about it. I'm not, zero fear at all. Nothing.
Yeah. Nope. You do get the death looks though, like you guys were saying.
I know, right? Isn't it crazy? Yeah, I did a video and I talked about ultraviolet blood irradiation. Did you happen to see that or no?
No, I haven't seen that one. Uh-uh.
Yeah, so ultraviolet blood irradiation, ozone, or peroxide therapy wipes out all viruses, like,
right.
You know, so if you can find a UBI practitioner in your area, there's nothing to worry about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard where we live. I live in such a small community, so we're always having to drive, get any kind of services really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's challenging, isn't it? But, have you ever been onto acam.org?
I'm sorry, H what?
It's ACAM, ACAM.org.
No, uh-uh.
You might be able to find a practitioner in your area through that website. They're kind of a repository or like a database of natural health practitioners.
Okay.
And you can search by specialty, like you could search for chiropractic. You can search for, I think it's peroxide therapy or ultraviolet therapy, which would be what UBI is. And there's, you can find people close to you. You can search by zip code. So it's a pretty great resource.
Okay. Yeah. Great. I'll look that up.
Yeah. Because, you know, if our, we have two twin boys, and if they ever come down with the measles, or if they've got a bad case of chicken pox or anything like that in the future, we have a person in our area that does this kind of work. So it's just no fear, you know, none at all.
Yep. Not when you know there's other alternatives out there.
I know, right? And so how are your friends and family? Do they kind of, do they think like you, or? Not really, right?
Friends, yes. Family, not so much.
Isn't that wild? Wow. Is it more like your brothers and sisters, or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, brothers and sisters, sister-in-laws, mm-hmm. brother-in-laws, yeah.
Isn't it challenging to be able to interact with them and not try to help too much, but try to let them know that there are solutions? It's challenging, isn't it?
It's, yeah, it's been that way for years. I've tried to talk to them about different things, but they don't listen. They end up going the medical route. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I know, that's kind of how my wife's sister is with her kids. They're the most unhealthy little girls ever. And she told my wife one time when my wife was asking her about stuff and trying to tell her some things that could help. And she just said right out, we just love Western medicine. So, you know, nothing's going to prevent us from going to the hospital. And she's, I think she's 5 years old, one of the daughters, and she's already had two surgeries, a collapsed intestine.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
Always sick, always getting sniffles, weird idiosyncrasies, the most unhealthy children ever, but they're not open to anything, you know, alternative. So what can you do, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. It's challenging. Do you have anyone in your life that really could use help, but you're trying to figure out a way to talk with them?
not anybody that would listen at this point. Most of the people that I associate with now do the alternative route. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's good. Yeah. It's definitely a challenge to not give away too much of your sort of pearls of wisdom and not give away too much of your energy to that, but then also try to help when you see people struggling. But that's been my biggest challenge the last few years, is just trying to help people that want help and not waste my time with people who don't want help, you know?
Yeah. I'm also an emotion code practitioner. So I volunteer at the DAV center, and I've learned that over the years that, you know, they're just not going to help themselves unless they're ready for help. So I learned that through there.
Wow.
That just to let it go, you know. That's, don't waste your time.
I know, it's so necessary. Did you say the emotion code?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's with Dr. What is his name?
Bradley Nelson.
Bradley Nelson. Yeah, we've had him on our radio show a couple times.
Mhm.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. So you work with people kind of privately doing that?
I do a little private, but I do a lot of volunteer work at the Veteran Center.
Okay. Wow, that's really cool. That's powerful stuff.
Try to help the veterans move on.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And what about your husband? Is he on board with you and your thinking?
For the most part, yeah. He's literally, we've been married for 31 years. So, and you know, I've been into this probably for the last more so 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
But, you know, when my kids were born, I knew nothing but traditional allopathic medicine. And right. So, for the first, let's see, we moved up here when my daughter was six. So the first 6 years, actually for the first 4 years we lived in Phoenix. So they got traditional medicine. And so they did get some vaccines and not too many because at that time they didn't have that many. But once we moved away from Phoenix, we hardly ever went to the doctor. And then once we moved up here again, you know, doctor, we didn't go to the doctor all that much. Our kids weren't sick. So
what did you do when your kids got a really bad fever, or did they get chicken pox or anything? Did you do anything specific?
Unfortunately, I never got into the chicken pox party, which I should have. We homeschooled, but I don't know if I didn't think of it, didn't get it there in time. They never got it, but they have never been really that sick. They've never had any major health issues.
That's great.
We did go to the chiropractor occasionally, but other than that, that was about it.
And how old are they now?
26 and 28.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So is their health, the reason why I'm asking is because our twins, we have 2-year-old twins, and as you can imagine, raising kids nowadays in this weird world, I'm just trying to, you know, think about, future sort of, you know, issues and laws and stuff like that.
Definitely chiropractic. I wholeheartedly believe that in that now. We only went occasionally then, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So 26 and 28 and two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's so great. And are they open to your kind of philosophies?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
My son is married. And his wife, her mother home birthed all three kids. So didn't have the vaccine. So, you know, they're more of that same mindset. Wow. My daughter is more into the natural, even though she is a physical therapist.
Uh-huh.
She's a physical therapist assistant, but and her fiance is a nurse. So he does have a little bit of that allopathic, but he's learning and she's teaching him. She's not taken the vaccines or the flu shots. You know, she's balked at her employer for the flu shots and it was mandatory. And
right.
And the first thing was that she had to go get a note from the doctor. It's like, okay, what's the doctor going to say?
Wow.
So that was fine last year. This year, I'll be back.
Are you still there? Oh, I think she left. I'm always curious people's stories, you know, especially in today's world when there's so much going on politically, socially, economically. There's so much going on and laws are changing every single day. It's wild. It's super, super wild. And for me, I think it's really important to make sure that we are protecting our children. I think that's the biggest thing that we could all do is protect our children, give them as many options and choices for natural healing as possible, even in the face of when our friends and family don't, you know, agree with us. I think it's really, really important to protect our children. And this, I was going to ask her about what she's hearing about this Bill Gates flu shot and this ID 2020 and this vaccine COVID. They say the COVID stands for COVID-19. What is a certificate of vaccination? Certificate of vaccination card or something like that, certificate. But basically, the idea is to get everyone vaccinated. And, you know, so for me, that's not the direction we're going as a family, as you can imagine. And if you have seen any of the videos I've done, I did a video, if you're concerned about vaccines and how to protect your children, go over to the Q&A with Jay, I think on the first one I did, and I basically did a whole roundup with research and evidence and studies and articles and different protocols and different things you can do with your children or yourself if you're ever forced to get a vaccine, which God forbid that never happens. But if you're ever forced to get a vaccine, I laid out step by step what you should do the days leading up to and the days following the vaccine, and what you can do to detoxify that stuff out of the heavy metals and those adjuvants and those aborted fetal tissue cells and all that stuff. You can actually get that out through a series of different methods. And I shared in that Q&A with Jay, I think it was session number one. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Highly recommend that. So I'm not sure where Greg or Amika is, if she's here or if she's going to come back, or maybe she just had to go take care of some people on the boat, but in Colorado there. So, yeah, I'm not sure how long to hold on for, if someone else is going to pop in. Just so you guys know, I'm doing this Monday through Thursday around 10 a.m. Pacific time. And you guys can join in, but then it's really open at any time. So I would really recommend for you guys to come on. And anytime you're going to go into the academy, just see who's on and maybe there's someone there. As you can imagine, we have members from all over the world. So it's one of those things where, you know, you never know who could be on. And, you know, it's like the old saying goes, you never know who you're talking to, right? So, and you never know who the speaker is that you're, if you're listening to a speaker, you don't know who these people are. So you never know that this person might be divinely appointed in your life to help you out in some weird, bizarre way, or give you a resource, or become a local friend, you know? So the idea behind the Zoom rooms here is to give all of us a safe place that's private, a private local community online, I guess, local, but a place where we can all come and just share and not get into fights like everyone is getting out there in the world. Everyone, it seems like, is fighting and arguing and trying to have differing belief systems. And it's really sad to see what's going on out there. And this is for us because right now we're supposedly on lockdown. We're not supposed to be leaving our homes. And so I wanted to create this space for all of us to be able to connect with each other. And get encouragement from each other, motivation, inspiration, and just basically be able to support each other in this journey. Because as you guys know, this weird world that we live in, people are very divided right now, and people aren't wanting to see the whole picture and not wanting to research. And what is really amazing to me is that when you see people that are have all this time on their hands, right? You see all these people online and they're watching Netflix videos and they're just watching videos and laying around all day. And that to me is one of the most bizarre things I could ever imagine, because life is more than Netflix and life is more than sitting around watching something. So I encourage you guys to learn, take up some classes on herbalism, learn how to work with mushrooms, buy some medicinal mushrooms and learn how to make decoctions with them, learn how to make tinctures, learn how to do these types of things that are going to be, I think, invaluable moving into the future, especially in our weird world right now. And for me, I think we're definitely going to be moving into round two of this in the fall of 2020. I know, because they are going to roll this out. And I think what they're trying to do is basically, I think they're kind of surprised at what they were able to do with this. And this is basically an IQ test. They're saying how gullible we are, you know, what we'll believe. You see people walking around with masks on, people driving around in cars with their masks on by themselves alone, or people driving in convertibles, people riding bikes. So I see people working out, outside, running. I've seen it all. This is an IQ test. This is how gullible we are as a culture. And I just feel like, they're going to move into round two, version 2.0 of the coronavirus. You know it's going to happen. And so they're going to have lockdowns again. They're going to institute this whole entire notion of social engineering, because now all I have to do is talk about social distancing, masks, these types of things, and everyone's going to just snap into place because they've already been groomed for it. in 1.0, which is happening right now. And so I think this is much deeper than anyone ever thinks or knows. And I have some theories about it, but I'm always curious what other people think as well. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be similar to sort of 9/11 in the sense that we're going to be debating and trying to figure out what this coronavirus is for decades. There's so many people out there whose videos are getting banned, who are speaking the truth. And if they're not afraid of anything, why ban those videos? You know, so there's a lot of differing opinions about what's really going on. But ultimately, what it comes down to, in my opinion, is strengthening the immune system, turning off the mainstream media, turn that garbage off. People ask me all the time, what should I do for my health? The first thing I say, it doesn't have anything to do with food. The majority of health has nothing to do with food. The majority of health has to do with your mission in life, your connection, your spiritual path, your personal development, your growth as a person. It has very little to do with food. Because you look at people who defy the odds and they have all those boxes checked in their life, right? All they're on a path of personal development. They're fulfilled. They have great relationships. You know, all these things, right? Celebrities sometimes, a lot of these people, Warren Buffett, a lot of these, you know, people like that, they live well into their 90s and beyond sometimes, and they eat the worst food ever. And so for me, when I talk about health, I think it doesn't even come down to food to begin with. It comes down to our light environment. It comes down to our connection with others, the love we have, the connection we have, the bond we have with our friends and family. If we're fulfilling our purpose in life, if we're doing work that's meaningful, if we're doing work that helps people, if we're doing work that fulfills us internally, you know, it comes down to having a good environment in your home with a lack of stress. And all of these things, I think it's really much more important than the food we eat. Food almost comes way later. But the problem is that with food, people think the first thing about health is your diet. And that this couldn't be further from the truth. If you watch the workshop we did with Nathan Walls, we understand that light by itself controls 42% of the brain, more than food does. And so really health is not about food. It's about all these other things, physical activity. So when I tell people what's the first thing you can do is shutting off any negative input into your life and treating your emotional psyche like just like you would your body, right? You wouldn't trash your body with fast food. You wouldn't trash your body with chemicals and poisons and drink gasoline, right? You wouldn't do any of those things. So why would we expose ourselves to negative and toxic work people, work environment, a stressful spouse or friends or family that are yelling at us and not agreeing with us, or bringing in input from media sources like TVs, newspapers, television, books, movies, music, these types of things where, you know, if these things are putting a negative impact in your life or subliminally programming your mind, then it's really important to shut. Step number one, stop the assault on your psyche. Stop the assault, the war for your soul. We have to stop that. Turn off the TV. There's a great book I encourage you to read by Jerry Mander called The Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. I didn't mean to go on this rant right now, but I just feel uniquely called to share some of this stuff. Turn off the news. We just got rid of our TV. We never had it hooked up. So we haven't had a TV for 5 years, but we had it hooked up in our home for Netflix, but we just got rid of that. There's no need for TV. There's no need for this kind of social engineering and social programming. And you know, instead, I would highly encourage you to listen to the courses and watch the courses we have here in Extreme Health Academy. Watch inspiring YouTube videos, you know, fill your mind with hope and answers. Because here's the thing, I talk about this on our radio show a lot, and that is people are controlled through fear. And it's like the old quote says in the Bible, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that is because people are controlled through fear. And the only reason why they're fearful is because they don't have any knowledge. And that's specifically designed to be that way. So The idea is to disempower you, to make you feel sick, to make you feel tired, to make you feel in debt, to make you feel disempowered. And then on top of that, to make you feel like there is a little bit of hope, but you have to look for that hope in the medical industrial complex and the CDC, the AMA, and all of these alphabet agencies that are designed to do nothing more than to take power from you and to make you feel beholden to them. And our message here inside the Extreme Health Academy is, hey, we can heal ourselves. There are cures out there. And I've talked to many, many people through our radio show, hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world, probably more than that, thousands of people since doing our show from 2012 is when we first started, who have healed themselves naturally of all kinds of catastrophic diseases. And the mainstream media doesn't want you to know that. The mainstream media wants you to think that there are no cures, that disease and sickness and illness is just a biological chance. It's just the luck of the draw. It's the way the cards rolled out. And there's nothing you could do about it. And we're a slave to our DNA and our genetic expression. That's what the mainstream media wants to do. And then we in white lab coats can disseminate a vaccine or some sort of pharmaceutical drug to you that will help heal your body. That's the message. And that's going to be continuing the message until the end of time. And so we're competing against an industry and a giant power struggle here in 2020, where we have to really start on taking back our power and understanding what the assaults are, understanding what's damaging our DNA, what's damaging our microbiome, why we're getting sick, why we don't die from bacterial or viral diseases. We die of degenerative diseases. Our genes are literally degening themselves. That's what degeneration means. This is what we're dying from. And it's a slow assault. 60,000 new chemicals introduced into our environment since the year 1960. One out of every two people are going to be diagnosed with cancer if you're born after 1963, I think. It used to be one out of every three women, used to be one out of every two men. Now it's 50% across the board. So if you do what everyone else does, you'll get what everyone else has. And there's a great quote that says, if you want something different in your life, or if you want what everyone else has, do what everyone else is doing. And you see the progression of sickness and illness out there in the world, right? If you want what they have, just do what they do, right? But if you want something different, then that means you have to do something different every single day. And this means that people don't have answers for you. We have to go seek them out ourselves. And it's like how in the old Chinese proverbs and the cones and things and the ancient writings of China, where they'd send out an herbalist, and the herbalist would always say that those who sought out the cures and the remedies themselves had a better effect, a more powerful effect. Because when you seek something out yourself and you get the remedy, it helps you more than if someone just gives it to you. And that plays out too, right? A child, 16-year-old child that gets a brand new Porsche car for his birthday doesn't value it. But if you're 25, 35 years old and you work hard for it and you finally buy it, then that means a lot to you. And so this is the whole idea of spiritual growth and personal development and progression as a species, is that we are designed to seek out remedies and to grow as people. And the process of transformation that happens when one of us are diagnosed with some kind of disease like COPD or asthma or rheumatoid arthritis, from being diagnosed to that to the end result, which is maybe a 2 or 3, 4 year journey of overcoming it possibly, that process of transformation is where the gold is. That's where the golden nuggets lie, is in that process of transformation, of pushing through, of seeking out new remedies and new things that might help heal you in the face of opposition from friends, from media, from family, from coworkers, from people who don't believe in you and think you're crazy. Yet you put your head to the grindstone, you do some research, and you start seeking out and trying new things and radically transforming your life. So for me, this whole process started years ago. I started in this whole health world back in 2003, but it started before that in 1995 when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and that was how I got started in this whole bizarre world, is having to look at alternative solutions and compared to mainstream medical solutions and see what was going on with both of them and see if I can see agendas in that and what was going on there. And the more you start scratching those rabbit trails and the more you start going down those lines of research, the more you start realizing this is really, really eye-opening, really groundbreaking, and really shocking, to say the least. So this is what opened my eyes, watching my mom go through cancer in 1995. And then I knew there had to be a better way. I knew something was wrong watching her age 20 years in a matter of 6 months, losing her hair, can't walk to more than 10 feet, throwing up, staying for 3 months at the City of Hope, going up there twice a week to donate platelets because I was the only match, seeing her lose her hair, seeing her lose her energy, seeing her lose her life, throwing up, wanting to give up, wanting to die. Getting very pasty and pale and losing all kinds of weight and losing her hair. I looked at that even as a 20-year-old kid thinking, this is not right. This is just not right. But I didn't know what the right thing was. I didn't know if there were other solutions. I didn't know if there was any other people that had any answers. I'd never heard of anything before. I never really thought about cancer in my life. But I just knew this couldn't be right. You know, this is too barbaric, right? 1995, that happened. She slowly regained her life back, fortunately, thank God. But it really opened my eyes to what was really going on. And then in 2001, I took a trip around the world for a year and traveled around. And when I came back, a friend of mine gave me a book called Fit for Life. And when he gave me that book, it opened my eyes to a world that I never knew existed. And prior to that, I had been researching ancient civilizations. I'd been researching how they built these ancient structures around the world. And my eyes were beginning to open as to how we could be sold a bill of goods in every aspect of life. Archaeology, finance, business, health, media, politics, history, science, all of these different segments of our society have been taken over in pursuit of money and power. And so when I started putting those dots together, when I got a book, Fit for Life in 2003, everything opened up for me. And that's when I began my journey. And I haven't let down since. And I've been feverishly trying to learn more and more because I see the suffering out there. I see the people breaking down. I see people sick and tired and fed up and friends and family dying of cancer. Recently, a friend of mine from high school, her 16-year-old child died of, I think, some kind of sarcoma. And, you know, I'm just seeing this rampant rise in autism and cancer and heart disease and all of these things and being vulnerable to these viruses. So I see this stuff and I think to myself, there has to be a better way. The medical industrial complex is not what it's sold out to be. Not what it's, they're not telling you the truth. And what they do is they pretend like they hold the keys to the kingdom. They pretend like they hold the keys and they pretend like they have all the answers. And they're the almighty gatekeepers of knowledge and wisdom and cures. And they're just not. And so the problem is that people will say, well, if there's cures for cancer, there's no cures for cancer. There's no cures for these things. If there's a cure, it'd be on the news. My doctor would have told me about it. And you can tell how deep people are in the matrix and how many blue pills they've taken their whole life when they say things like that to you, because they just don't understand how the world really works. You know, and not saying that I do, but I've been on a mission to understand and to learn as much as I possibly can. And it's very sad to see people who trust in the system so much think that if they are so nice and they want to help us and they have our best interest in their mind. And when I see people think that these people that run the NIH, the CDC, the AMA, and the WHO, when I see these people and they think that there's cures out there, and if there were, they would roll them out. It saddens me because people just have no idea that it's all about money and power. So Amiko, are you back?
Yes.
Sorry about that. I kind of went on a little rant there while you were gone. So I just
I'm sorry.
Get something off my chest.
No, quite all right. Quite all right. Had a customer come in, so I had to leave.
I was just kind of sharing a little bit about my story. It'll be on the replays, mm-hmm. but I was just sharing a little bit about my story about how sad it is. I feel that people will say to you, I'm sure they've said this to you too, right? Where, oh, if there was really a cure for cancer, or if there's a cure for diabetes, wouldn't my doctor have told me about it? You know?
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm sure you've heard that before, right?
Oh yes.
It's very sad to me that people actually think that the WHO and the AMA and the CDC are out to help us.
Yeah. And you try to educate a little bit by telling them, you know, that the pharmaceutical companies are the one that are giving money and sponsoring the medical schools and, you know, what else?
I know. I know it's wild, but it's weird that it's not weird because I understand why, but you know, we're not taught this information. Like all of this information, you know, that's taught in the academy, you're never going to hear on the mainstream news. And I understand why, but it's sad that that's the case, you know?
And as you were saying, you know, it's about people seeking it out. They're willing to go the medical route because they have insurance and it's free and
I know.
I don't have to pay for it.
I know. It's really funny because it's not really health insurance. There's no real health insurance. It's all just pharmaceutical drug sales, really. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know. That's cool. So you got involved in this about 10-15 years ago, you said?
Yes.
What was slowly. The impetus that started you off?
You know, I don't know. I think moving out of the city. My husband and I both grew up in Phoenix, so we moved out of the city, and then moved up here, which is very rural. Uh-huh. So a lot of people did the raw milk, the natural things, and being around that environment, you know, the fresh beef, those kind of things. It was a slow gradual. And then, as I homeschooled, as they got older, I had time to start researching on my own. Mm-hmm. Gotta go again.
Oh, no worries. No worries. No, that's so great. That's so great. I think it's so cool that people take time to do research because, you know, what's interesting. I don't know about you guys. Let me just do a little timestamp here, 37:50. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever had a thing where you send your friends and family some research? You send your friends and family some information, some documentation, some studies, some videos, some articles, or anything else? Are you back?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that's so cool that you started to do some research because I find that sometimes I will do research for people and send it to friends and family and then they don't even look at the research that I already do for them. That's how close certain people are. So that's cool that you did that.
Yeah, I came across and I think you know Patrick Timpone many years ago, started listening to him and different shows, so mm-hmm. So that was part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know him personally.
I think that's where I came across Dr. Bradley Nelson, and it just resonated with me. And you know, went read through that.
That's great. Yeah, I know Patrick personally. I used to work for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. He's had a lot of guests on, and yeah, that's yeah. Bradley Nelson's amazing as well. Is he up to anything new these days?
Pardon me?
Is Bradley Nelson up to anything new these days?
Not that I've seen. No, just promoting his the Emotion Code more. Mm-hmm. They do live things around the country.
Okay. That's great. And how did you find out about us? Did you find us through our radio show or through Dr. Bergman?
Dr. Bergman.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I've had issues spinally, structurally, for years, and found Dr. Tent, which I know you've had on too. And then I don't know how I found Dr. Bergman, but have been listening to both of them. So, and then came across you through him.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Dr. Tent is a fireball, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
I love that guy. Yeah, I think he's been on once or twice over the years, but he's a great guy. So Dr. B, do you watch his talks on YouTube or Facebook? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Facebook, yeah. His Facebook talks, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He talk about a fireball too. I didn't catch the one last night. I think the one last night was about civil disobedience.
I'll see you in a minute.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Yeah, I was saying the talk that Dr. Bergman did last night on his YouTube channel is about civil disobedience. So we'll have to bring that into the academy. For those that are unaware, we're working on bringing all of Dr. Bergman's YouTube videos going back to 2009 into the academy because of censorship. And the beautiful thing about the way we're organizing over 2,000 videos is we're doing it all by category. So you can easily click on autoimmune, you can click on sleep, you can click on digestion, you can click on nervous system, cancer, heart disease, all the different subject matters that Dr. Bergman has done lectures on, and we're bringing them all into the academy. And so, so Amiko, I was just telling everybody that we're bringing all of Dr. Bergman's information and lectures into the academy. Same with our radio shows because of the censorship that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right? Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many videos being taken down. We've had videos taken down. I know Dr. Bergman has. And you see sometimes videos are taken down within minutes.
Yeah. It's as someone I was listening to the other day, it's like the equivalent of book banning way back when.
Uh-huh.
They're burning books. They're burning information.
Yeah, I know. It's. I mean, to me, it's evident of some kind of agenda that's behind all this, and it screams loud and clear right in your face that something is going on. You know, something, because you have videos just stating facts about certain things or citing studies that are just being taken down. Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing to hide, then why be afraid of those videos, you know?
Yeah, because there is an agenda and there is something to hide.
I know, right? Yeah, it's definitely a wild world out there. And the thing that I'm pretty sure of, and I'm wondering your thoughts too, it seems to me like they're just priming the pump for version 2.0 of COVID-19 in the fall. I really think they're going to lay it on thick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They keep saying that there's going to be a spike. There's going to be a spike in the fall. Well, of course there's going to be a spike because you've locked everyone at home. I mean,
I know, right? Of course.
It hasn't gone around. You haven't got the herd immunity.
Uh-huh.
And then once you start letting everyone out, yeah, there's going to be a spike, of course.
I know. And it's like they're just conditioning the public to believe. And it's just so obvious. And now they're talking about the vaccine that's available for a virus that's been around for, you know, it mutates every 2 to 7 days, but somehow they're going to have a vaccine for it. I mean, it's like, it's just comedy. Like, I just don't understand how people don't see right through this stuff. I mean, are people's minds too filled with iron and to understand what's happening?
Yeah. I don't get it either.
It's so obvious, you know. Well, that's great. You're working. Are you on a lake? You said you're at working with boats.
We've got several lakes around here, but my boss is the only boat mechanic in the area.
Okay.
So he stays busy.
Now, your boss, does he understand the things you're talking about, or is he kind of?
Oh, no, I don't. his wife and I have been friends a long time, but yeah, no.
Okay.
They don't. A little bit, very little, but not to the extent that I'm into it, no.
Do you work with the public? Are you forced to wear a mask at all, or are you okay?
No, he doesn't care whether I do or not.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, the mask issue is another fraud that's been hoisted on humanity, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. So one of the closest cities, two big cities around here, one of them is in New Mexico, right across the border. And I just read that New Mexico has been issued that everyone has to wear a mask. So I told my husband, I guess we're not going down there for a while.
Oh my goodness. Really? Everyone just walking around has to do that?
Yep.
Wow. The other day I saw Whole Foods was requiring a mask to go in, and I had to pick up a couple things. So I just turned around and went somewhere else because I'm not supporting that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not right. I mean, those masks are useless, but what's his name? What's the owner of Whole Foods now? Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
I mean, he's part of the powerful elite, I guess you could call it. So I don't know. Do you have a Whole Foods near you?
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
No.
We do. Like I said, our county maybe has 25,000 people in it. We're so small.
Oh, that's great.
But we do have a lot of farmers markets in the town. So
okay.
A lot of people grow things around here. Of course, we have cattle growers here. Okay. We have sheep, goat, people that raise chickens. We have chickens ourselves. So.
That's great. That's so cool. Yeah, we're thinking about getting some chickens ourselves here pretty soon. Smart.
In California, they're allowing that?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on which city you live in and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, some of our neighbors have them. So I think we're going to do it.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, spending your money on actual things that have substance, right? That's where the gold is.
Yeah. So there's a lot to this area other than you have to drive in order to get any good alternative medical practitioners.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe try that ACAM because I've been doing a lot of research on that ultraviolet blood irradiation, UBI therapy. I did a whole video. I don't know if you saw it in the Academy under the Q&A with Jay, and there's like 26 peer-reviewed studies and information and research talking about how to kill viral infections. And methylene blue, the ultraviolet light, all these things kill infections. So if you're ever worried about viral infections, click into that because I share a lot of good stuff there. Somehow, I think if you empower yourself with more knowledge, your fear just diminishes, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's so true. You know, because I think if they told people about these remedies that have been out there, the public would say, okay, well, there's nothing really to fear. I'm not really afraid. If I can go get a 10 to 30 minute UBI treatment for a viral infection and wipe a coronavirus out, then why would I need a vaccine? But that's not in their best interest, I don't think.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So what kind of diet do you follow and what kind of sort of practices do you do to keep healthy? I'm curious.
Pretty much the whole foods, fruits, vegetables, meat. I have a PEMF mat.
Oh, great.
I do saunas regularly.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. So where did you get the PEMF mat?
I bought it used from somebody.
Okay.
So.
sauna therapy and some of these things, I do the same thing. We have a PEMF mat and we have a sauna. We have a red light therapy.
Rebounding, device. Yeah.
Rebounding, yeah. It's mm-hmm. all so good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to do those things every day or is kind of a few times a week?
Probably not every day.
Okay.
I try to do them most every days, but with summer here, life's hectic. We do live on acreage, so.
Yeah, you got work to do, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, that's sauna therapy.
We grow alfalfa in our, we have probably about 6 acres, so we grow alfalfa during the summer, so.
Oh, wow.
We have to water, and then we are growing a garden. We do have fruit trees and all that, so it gets hectic in the summer.
Yeah, a lot to take care of. Do you have any animals? You said you had chickens, right?
We have chickens. Other than that, yeah. No
goats or cows or anything?
No, but we do have those around our area.
How great.
Our neighbors do.
Are you able to get raw butter and raw milk and these types of
things? Yes, yes.
How amazing is that?
Uh-huh. We do have, in Colorado, you do have to belong, what they call a...
Co-op?
I guess you have to buy a share into the animal.
Okay.
So... Once you buy a share into the animal, and then, you know, they don't care whether you get raw milk or butter, raw butter or whatever.
Wow. Do you eat meat or are you mostly plant-based?
Yes. No, so, yeah. I grass-fed meat, yeah.
Great, great. So do you do any organ meats? I'm sure you get really high-quality meat then. How great is that?
I haven't really got into the organ meats. I know I should, but
yeah,
haven't really got into that yet.
Are you familiar with Ogynous Vonderplanets?
I've heard of them. Yeah, I've listened to them a little bit.
Oh my gosh! Do you remember when he used to talk about fermenting what he would call high meat, and it was basically like liver or lung, and it was raw, and he would put it in a jar.
Yeah.
And he would let it ferment. And he said on our show that he couldn't even open the jar up in the house. It smelled so bad. I don't know how people eat that.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think, but he had like a stomach cancer that I think that he successfully overcame through following that primal sort of raw meat diet. So, but incredible. Having that fuzz grow on there and oh my goodness, gross, 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 gross. I just take the, ancestral supplements, some of their desiccated organ glandulars there. So as a capsule, so it's easier that way.
that would be my thing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you jumped on. And yeah, so feel free to jump on at any time. I'm on Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. We have a live show on Friday, which is why I can't do it Friday. But
right.
And then I try to, we have, like I said, twins, so it's hard for me to jump on at other times, but randomly I'll jump on throughout the day and see if anyone's around. So I'm glad I caught you today. Yeah, this is great. Yeah,
I had gotten off. No one was on earlier, so I thought I had gotten off. And then I started hearing noise. I'm like, oh, did I not exit the Zoom?
That's awesome. What is your username in the forums or the website?
I think it's Me and Three.
What is it?
Me and Three.
Me, M-E-A-N-D?
A-N-D-T-H-R-E-E.
Oh, cool. Gosh, I don't recognize your name.
I haven't been on a lot.
Okay.
With my job, like I said, I tried, I thought I was just going to listen, but luckily it's slow this morning.
I know, right? Hey, what kind of things do you think would be very cool? I'm trying to ask all of our, I'm building sort of a bunch of different pieces to the academy. What kind of things do you think would be really helpful? We've had a few people talk about like recipes and doing things like that. And Some people have mentioned like protocols for different like ailments and things. Is there anything that you think would be really cool to see for me to add to the academy?
So maybe not just food recipes, but maybe other recipes also, with whether herbals or maybe homemade lotion. I know some people do homemade lotions, salves, things like that. That would be cool too.
Oh, right. Okay. That's a great, I never would have thought of that. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about doing some different courses too with different practitioners and, you know, like on ozone and how to use an ozone machine and these types of things too. So I think that would be cool. Pretty helpful. Yeah. Because people don't know about even ozone therapy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so many tools. Do you have an ozone machine?
I have a water ozonator. Yes.
Okay.
But an ozone machine, no.
Yeah. The ones that do the water are really good. Is it from that company called Sota Instruments?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great device, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
I do a lot of, energy work, energy healing. So, the brain thing, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. That's so great. I'm so glad to connect with you. This is really cool. Like I'm trying to, you know, get to know everyone more so than in the forums. 'Cause through text, it's a little different. You know, you can't really connect with people. I mean, you can, but it's not as good, you know.
It's a lot of typing.
I know, right? And I don't like typing at all. Yeah. So there in Colorado, it's got to be 12:30 almost, or 1:30?
Yeah, 12, almost 12:30, going on 12:30.
So you're an hour ahead of us. Okay.
Yes.
So what are you going to do today? Are you going to do any sauna therapy, or is it getting too hot there for that?
No, I usually do that in the evening before a shower. So after our day is over, I'll probably jump in for a little while. I usually jump in for a little while and then go take a shower.
That's great. Do you have one of those wood saunas that you get in all the way into, or one?
No, I have a far infrared sauna, a relaxed far infrared sauna.
Oh, that's the one we have too. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's the best. Do you watch anything, any movies or anything while you do it?
That or I read things, catch up on my reading.
Yeah. I know, it's a great little getaway, isn't it? Put a kind of get away from everyone and do that, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I just love that. It's just a nice time to get away and kind of watch something or read something and not have, for me, I used to use it, about 6 days a week, I'd say on average. But now since we have our kids, you know, I'm lucky if I can do three, I'm happy with, you know? Yeah, our kids are 2 years old, so they kind of,
I know, wow, that's
attention. Yeah,
it's, so I guess I have been around, I have been watching you for since then, because I remember Kate being pregnant, so
okay.
I can't believe it's been 2 years already. Wow.
Oh, it's been a while. So you must have signed up early on then, when we first started.
Yes.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I
just don't jump on a lot.
Yeah. We're trying to, you know, put all different types of content in there so that, you know, I think for me, being a part of this community myself, is sometimes I just want quick, actionable things. You know, I've got a spider bite, or I've got a rash, or I've got something. I just want like a quick remedy for these things. So I'm working on adding some of that kind of content, so it could be helpful for people to use as kind of like a resource, you know?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, and, I was just researching hormones. So I thought I might do something there. So it's always something to research, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, that's super cool. So you're, is it Amiko or Amika?
Amiko.
Amiko. Okay. That's a cool name. I never heard that name before.
It's Japanese.
Okay. Amiko. That's so cool. And is Greg a part of the academy as well, or just you?
No, that's, that's our name when we use Zoom, since we've been doing a lot of Zoom lately.
I know, everyone's on here, right?
he's a little technically challenged, so we go through me.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, Jody is now here. Amiko, Jody is a regular Zoomer here. So she's in Chicago.
And where are they?
Amiko, you're in Colorado, right?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Southwest Colorado, yes.
Southwest. Oh. So that would be how close
we're I'm in Cortez. We're about 45 minutes from the Four Corners.
So we're, so how close are you to Durango?
We are about 45 minutes from west of Durango.
I think that is the most beautiful place.
Is it Durango?
Yeah, it's just really a cool place. I mean, my daughter lived there for a very short time and missed home, but she loved it there. It's just really, you know, I don't know what it would be like to be there all the time, but seems pretty cool.
Yeah, Durango, Colorado. There's some great places. I heard Santa Fe is really nice. Santa Fe, New Mexico. I've never been there though. Is that nice?
Santa Fe is cool.
Is it?
Yes, definitely worth a visit.
Now, is that there? I was in somewhere else in New Mexico. I forget. And the Sandia Mountains are there, but I don't know if is Santa Fe flat or Colorado is definitely not flat.
Santa Fe's not either. We actually went.
Santa Fe's over 5,000 feet.
Yeah, it's over 5,000 feet. We went skiing there. Right.
Okay. And the Sandia Mountains?
Is that what the mountains were? Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Not from the town. Yeah. Not an hour from the town. By the way, I was at my hydrocolon therapist today.
Nice.
I love this lady. She's 76 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's going to become a member of the Extreme Health Academy.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yep.
Wow, that's great. Maybe she can offer some insight and share a little bit about her experiences and things.
Oh yeah, she's amazing. She's just an amazing. All she does is go to school on YouTube and stuff. And she's the one who originally told me about Dr. Bergman.
Oh, really? Okay. That's really great because there's so many different aspects of health, you know? And so, you know, Dr. Bergman can focus more on the nervous system and the structure and stuff, but then there's the digestion piece. And it seems like colon hydrotherapists are really knowledgeable in that whole area.
She's amazing.
Wow. So I read a book years ago called... what was the name of that book? It was something about fresh carrot and vegetable juices by Norman Walker. Are you familiar with him?
No, Norman.
So
Walker.
He wrote a book and he was, I think he had overcome some kind of cancer, much like the juice man. And apparently he lived till he was about 117 years old. And I think he died in the mid 80s or so. And he recommended twice a year, I think, a series of six colon hydrotherapy sessions every 6 months, all in a row, kind of 2, 4, 6, maybe do two a week for 3 weeks, twice a year. But I don't, I've done them a few times. I haven't really got on a schedule like that. Are you on a schedule?
Not so much anymore. I go when I feel like it. It's been a while since I've been there, probably since December, or I would say probably there. And then it'd been a while before that. But there for a long time, you know, I'd go and I started out with the six. So I must have gotten that from her. I did a six.
Did you notice when you did like on sessions 3, 4, 5, or 6, did you notice more happening?
It's a big yes. I think a game changer because you can't, I had done coffee enemas for years and stuff like that, which I still think is a good idea. I just, know it's so much more effective to get all the way, get the whole colon in. And, I mean, sometimes you felt really nauseated because there was a lot of toxins. And I mean, this was in the beginning. And, but I, I trust this lady, because some, from what I've heard, you go into some places and they kind of leave you alone.
Yeah.
This woman is massaging your stomach. She puts a castor oil pack on your stomach and eat while you're going through it.
Okay.
You know, and she's constantly going to school, you know, for it. And she's become a real guru. She sells castor oil packs now. She makes them.
Wow.
And she's a firm believer in that, you know, just.
It's such a powerful, just the castor oil alone, a castor oil pack. I was going to ask you what kind of things, you know how there's so many things to do with your health. There's literally so many things you could do every day. You could spend all day sort of self-care, you know, but, some of the things I've been doing recently that have been really kind of a game changer are castor oil packs, oil pulling, and skin brushing. And they're relatively, you can do them while doing other things, and they don't take much time. They're cheap, you know?
My sister does oil pulling. I have yet to do that. She loves it. She's a big believer in that, and I got to do that.
I know. It's funny because at the end of the night, maybe after the kids are in bed, we've kind of put the house back together. You know, it's 9 o'clock. Kate and I might have maybe a half an hour, and we'll just usually watch something on Netflix or something, you know, on YouTube or something. And we'll do a little castor oil pack then. And then she'll go to bed, and then I'll get ready to go to bed. And then during the time when I'm taking a shower, I'll do the oil pulling and kind of kill two birds with one stone, you know?
Oh,
and so kind of like,
so how long do you swish it around?
I go for about 20 minutes. Yeah, I go for about 20 minutes, and then I do the castor oil before that, you know, and then when I'm getting ready to take a shower, do the skin brushing. And so I've been back on this. I kind of cycle on and off these things. You get too busy, you forget, you know, but it's great. It's great. Are you doing anything new that's kind of fun and new?
I think I'm always doing something that's new.
Yeah.
I think. What's our latest? this last year was a total year of Rife Machine.
Okay.
Never done that before.
Uh-huh.
So that was new for me. It's going right now.
Oh, you know? Great.
You know, I've got it on. But I'm big into my spirulina. I order from Nutrex in Hawaii. I get that. And I take that every morning, and we juice every morning with the desiccated liver powder in it.
Oh, wow.
We make our juice, the carrots, beet, and all that, pretty much root stuff. And then throw in the liver powder and some acai berry.
Okay.
We get from Perfect Supplements or wherever that, you know, that.
Yeah. Great time. Yeah.
I do a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. I have 8 drops.
Oh, wow.
In distilled water. I down that with, I've been doing that for a few months.
Wow. So you put about 8 drops. Is it like 3% or 35%?
No, 35%.
35%. So you put a few drops in like an 8-ounce glass of water?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
And do you do that in the morning?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
And that bottle lasts forever.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, I use it also in the bathtub at least once a week. We do, you know, a cup of 35% in the bathtub.
Okay.
Yeah, so we do that. I'm now on the magnesium bicarb. I got that. That's good stuff. I mean, you don't even taste it.
Yeah, it's good, huh? And I need to rebuy another bottle of that. I ran out. So yeah, it's.
I took a gallon bottle, you know, like they say. Oh, and I bought, this is my latest purchase, a distiller.
Oh, cool. What kind did you get?
So from your site.
Oh, the Aqua Nui?
It came today.
Oh, excellent. That's awesome.
So I'll get to tell you all about that. My plumber can't hook it up. He's going to hook it up to my reverse osmosis.
Nice.
So the reverse osmosis water goes in, so it won't be as, you know, I'm hoping, you know, it will stay cleaner longer.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool. And how's your husband with everything in the golf course? Is he still working on stuff like you mentioned?
Well, he's been doing great. We just got his blood test back. His thyroid's come way down from where it was. I mean, he was in these charts that were outrageous, you know.
Oh, good.
We're going to send for another glyphosate test.
Okay.
That's what's been really, really high.
Uh-huh.
And they don't test for that when you do your blood test. But he's feeling great.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so good. That's great. Especially being on the golf course, you know, I have to take a little bit more precaution. So that's awesome.
Well, he's on a course where they do very minimal, minimal chemicals, but anytime they do use glyphosate, they let him know they're going to do it and he stays home.
Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah, we had a gardener in our backyard the other day, or not the other day. I mean, it's funny. As you get older, things, the other day becomes 3 years ago, you know. but he was spraying, you know, the little cracks in cement. Well, he was in our backyard the first time we saw him spraying that stuff. And I went out there. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't spray that, okay? You know, and he said, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. And I said, no. This is, and he said, no, there's no problem with it. It just kills the weeds. And so he kind of kept pushing like that. And so I just said, you know what? Glyphosate causes cancer. Okay. Please don't spray that. Like, I don't want to have to come out that strong, but that stuff causes disease. All right. So please don't spray that in our backyard. You know,
that's what actually he figured that caused the worst of his problem was they were spraying the parking lots.
Oh.
In at the golf course.
Oh, really?
And because he's on the practice tee, nobody was spraying but they were spraying the parking lot, and that's got cracks everywhere. And he thought, that's what it is. I can't even be out in the, you know, back and forth to your car or people's cars or any, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we saw our neighbor too, the other day, had one of those cans out and he sprang. And we didn't know what to say because we've told him. So we just ran inside the house, closed it all up and thought, you know what, we're just going to wait. And I mean, people are just, they don't get it. My nephew is a landscaper. I've tried to tell him.
Oh, and my gosh, really? No,
and he's been to all kinds of seminars. I'm telling you, Monsanto must do those seminars on the Roundup. They must write those out or whatever, because they talk about how safe it is.
Wow, that's so great.
The first 15 minutes, they say. The first 15 minutes, you have to stay away.
Yeah, I can smell it blocks away when we're walking our dogs and there's neighbors down the street spraying it in front of their house. I can smell it downwind for, you know, 8-10 houses away.
Yeah, and the one golf course he worked at was, there's farmland all around it. Mm-hmm. And they had big trucks, big tankers going by with their spray, And I mean, it actually, you know, sometimes they leak out of the tankers that go by. Like, yeah. There's leaking. Went by my friend's house, who lives up. She does have a farm.
Uh-huh.
He said she actually won a suit because the tanker had a leak, and she has tomato plants all in front. It killed all their tomato plants. They weren't even spraying her yard.
Gosh, that's insanity.
And because it was just leaking in the air, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what they had in that tanker, but my guess is it was not good.
My mom, before we knew any better, this was mid-90s, my mom she was a lifelong smoker, you know, but she would always spray her plants with melathionine, which was basically glyphosate. And as a result, I think that had a lot to do with her non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And oddly enough, she was spraying the flowers in the backyard, and our dog got diagnosed right around the same time with that same kind of cancer. And it's crazy. I was in Lowe's or something recently, and there's a whole display section for Roundup. You know, they're just selling it. You know, they just went through a $450 million lawsuit that they lost. You know, it's being appealed and they lost that one, but they're still selling it. I don't understand. I don't understand how they can get away with that.
I see it all the time.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, being where you are.
Oh, the farmers around here all spray it, and I can't talk them out of it. They think I'm stupid because they've been doing it for years.
I know. I feel for you.
My husband does the same thing. We just got in an argument the other, not kind of a friendly argument.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling him how bad it was. And he goes, well, I'm telling you what, they're never going to go back to where they used to do a thing called rotary hoe. And they actually had to go out and get it out. And I said, go back to it. And he goes, nobody around here is going to do it.
Do people know about the lawsuits, or did they not even know that they exist?
They've seen the lawsuits about it.
They have.
They're stuck in their ways. You can't talk them out of it.
I know.
I talk. I had a group of about three farmers the other night. We were out in the shop, and I'm telling them everything about it. And they've been doing it for years, and they don't want to listen to me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I used to use it. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I used to use it around the house. But you know what I do now? I have a torch with a wand on it, and I burn the weeds.
I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, you get better results anyway, right?
And I told my husband, I said, don't you dare ever, ever mix up Roundup for me again. Because he used to mix it up for me. He had a big old thing of it. One time years ago, he had a wrench fell on the sprayer, and he was up into his armpits in Roundup to get that wrench out.
Wait.
This was years ago.
Literally?
Yes.
He got into it, like it went up to his armpits?
Yes.
Like a big tank of it he must have been in.
It was a big tank, and a wrench fell in, and there's like a hole at the top. And he put his arm down there to get it. They didn't know any better. He does know better than that now. But
oh, man.
They're not going to change their ways around here. Not until maybe another generation, you know, maybe if some of the younger ones start getting a little bit wise about it.
Wow.
My son is really good. I think one day if he takes the farm over, he's going to change things.
My son, the one that's your age, Justin, that told me, and I wish I could, I wish he was here to tell the story, but he somehow was working with Roundup. This is before he knew anything. And had to go to his in-law's house. They were having some kind of a cocktail thing outside right away. And he was just working with Roundup. Then he goes there in the pants that he had on that he was working in. He didn't realize, or he had spilled a bunch of Roundup on his leg.
Oh.
And he thought, well, it'll dry, you know, and I'll just go because I'm late. So he goes there, and he gets violently ill while he's there.
Wow.
He like got really sick, had to go home. He said, I couldn't figure out what it was until I realized it was the Roundup that had soaked his pants. And he said, I hadn't eaten anything. It was like it hit me, you know, that I was drenched in it, in his leg. Your son, you know, and I can't remember the story now, but that's how he learned the hard way before, I didn't even know that was the wicked, you know, chemical.
Mm, but it's amazing. It's amazing how people.
I didn't know it was that bad. I mean, I knew it was bad if you were exposed to it for a long time, but not like that.
I think people like what you were saying.
So that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you were saying back, like either people don't think there's a better solution, or maybe people are just, they don't believe. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, it's not going to happen to me kind of thing.
That's what it is. They don't think it's going to happen to them any more than any other cancer, you know? Like lung cancer or whatever you blame it on, they don't think it's going to happen to them.
That's so crazy. It's wild because the stats are, if you're born after 1960, it's 1 out of 2, whether you're male or female.
Well, did you guys see that?
Nuts.
That video that somebody shared in the Academy here, where Zach Bush was talking to Dow Bigtree, and he had predicted that Wuhan was going to be the next pandemic type thing just because of their air, the smog and stuff. And he attributes Roundup to one of the things.
Really? Oh,
really?
Other things besides 5G and whatever. But Zach Bush predicted that that was going to happen to Wuhan.
Really?
In that interview with Dell Bigtree.
Oh my gosh. I saw that. I think he's been on there a couple times. I haven't seen either one of them, but I should.
The very end of it is really good. The last 10 minutes of that interview when he explains about life and death, and it's kind of emotional. I shared it with how many people that I know, uh-huh. and they came back and thanked me, and all were saying they cried at the end.
Wow.
What movie?
It's Zach Bush predicted, I think, COVID or whatever, but he was interviewed by Dell Bigtree. If you get on YouTube, as long as you type that stuff in, it'll come up.
Okay. Yeah. Is it the first interview or the second one that he was on? Do you know?
I think it's the first one.
Okay. Because I think there was a couple years apart. I think they, you know, talked, you know, twice with a couple years in between. So,
yeah.
Wow. I'll have to look at that. That's interesting. So was he, at the time of the interview, was this pre-coronavirus?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay. Yes. He predicted that it was going to happen there just with, and I like how he explains about the whole virus, that it's in the air. It's not by people with their spit flying out of their mouth, you know?
Yeah, right.
That it's in the air. It's always been in the air before humans ever even came on the earth. It shows the globe and how things are going around, you know, and it's just that these COVIDs have been around forever. And it's when, it's kind of like when the, we're ruining our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when that stuff flares up in people.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had a big protest there in Wuhan about some plant going up or something. And somebody, this wasn't, Zach Bush didn't say this, but I heard it on something else where it said, you don't protest in China because they're going to get you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They will not allow that, will they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Zach Bush just
explained
how things work is cool.
Did you find it, Jody?
One is an hour and 22 minutes.
That's the one that's really good where he explains everything. If you see another one that's only 10 minutes long, that's the very end. And that's the part that gets kind of emotional when he explains about the baby in the womb and what the baby experiences. And then at the end of life, and it almost gives you chills, that very last 10 minutes.
If you find that, Jody, could you share it in the chat room?
Yeah. Let's see.
That would be great. Yeah. It's funny, when Stephanie Seneff was on our show, she talked about glyphosate being airborne now because a certain percentage of ethanol coming from GMO corn is sprayed with glyphosate. And so that gets into the ethanol, which becomes part of the gasoline. And she was saying that now, because of tires and tire exhaust and cars and driving, glyphosate is literally floating around in the air. And so it's ubiquitous now in our environment with jet fuel. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, you think about this too. Don't you think the cotton farmers use it on their cotton? And we're dressing in it.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. We're it's all around us.
Yeah. You know what's weird is, are you guys familiar with Dr. Hulda Clark?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I went and saw her speak.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was a...
I don't think she's alive now, right?
No, no.
Didn't they run her out of the country or not?
She died, and she was from Colorado or someplace like that, but I saw her, and I went to Milwaukee to see her.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah, she was quite an interesting lady with all kinds of unique information that kind of you don't hear anywhere else. And I remember she was talking about, speaking of cotton, that the color blue, blue cotton clothing is apparently associated with chemicals, and there's a certain name that she used to give that, but it was associated with parasites and cancer, which I thought was wild.
Let's see, how do I?
Yeah, see, I don't know how to share stuff. I just know how to share it to people's phones. I don't know how to share it on here.
I don't either. I don't know how to do that.
If you hover over, if you mouse over the sort of main area, at least on my screen, there's a bunch of buttons on the bottom that shows like who's on, and then there's a more option. And then there's a chat if you click on the more, at least on mine.
See, I have to get out of this.
Yeah, I don't see anything that says more options.
Let me just see if I can. I'll try it and see what happens. I just have to, as long as you can still, let's see.
Are you taking?
I have it on my phone, but I can't see you guys right now on that.
On the desktop.
I'm going to do it off my desktop because, here it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll see that.
This is the full interview 5 days ago.
Okay.
And his ongoing efforts are providing a path for consumers.
Stop. Let me just get the share button.
I'm sure you guys are on, your husband's probably on the Zach Bush's product, right?
Who are you talking to,
Jody? Oh, Jody, yeah, for glyphosate. Yeah,
I can't, is on what?
I would assume that your husband's probably on the Restore for glyphosate, right?
No.
Oh, really? I mean,
no, he hasn't been on that.
Oh, okay.
There's a Restore for glyphosate?
Well, Restore is sort of, I think, associated with helping detoxify that out of the body.
Well, yeah, we took Restore for a long, long time, like about... It was expensive. We were trying to decide, hey, do we keep this up? What do we do?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it was one of those. But see, I have to go back and do the academy to get to go to, back through to the Zoom room again for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, bizarre, huh?
Yeah, because I lose you visually. So let me just see.
Are you on Zoom via a desktop or a
desktop?
Desktop. Okay. Yeah. It's funny because when I roll over the middle part of the area, there's a little more, there's three dots and a more, and then you can kind of open the chat room there. But,
My chat room's right on the bottom. So I have no problem with it. I had to get out, get in. let me just put the paste. Okay. So let's see if this works.
Cool.
No, let's see what happens.
So, Beck, are you taking a break from the farm right now? A little siesta.
Yeah,
little...
It's actually been raining a lot here.
Okay.
And I was on a paint job before, so I quit for a while. Come in and see if anybody was on.
There you go. Oh, I got it. Okay, cool. Thanks, Jody, for sharing that.
Yep.
Awesome.
I did have any of you guys had any interesting things happen to you when you go into stores with mask on or mask off or whatever? With reactions to other people?
Yeah, I haven't worn a mask yet during this whole thing. I was telling Amiko before that I tried to go to Whole Foods the other day and they required a mask. And so I went somewhere else. But I'm walking around more and more people that just do not seem to be wearing masks. And it seems like people... I get the feel that more and more people are kind of waking up to this whole thing. I see a lot of encouragement, and then a minute later, I see someone driving in a car by themselves with a mask right on. You know, so it's like, well, I don't know.
I got to tell you what happened to me that was interesting. You saw those two 14-year-old granddaughters that I have with their cousins and friends.
Okay.
And my daughter that lives 2 hours away, I went to take the one back home to her on last weekend. And so my other granddaughter went along. So I had the two 14-year-olds and my cousin. Well, they wanted to stop at a dollar store on the way home to pick up some snacky things.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gone to town that much during this whole thing, maybe 5 times. So I'm not the mask wearer, paying attention to the tape type person. So I just was acting like I normally do.
Okay.
And I go up to the cash register and there was this lady standing there with a whole bunch of stuff and she was checking out. She had the mask on. And so I don't know. I might've been 3 foot from her. Maybe. I'm not sure, but she gave me the death stare. You would not believe. And it didn't compute right away. And all of a sudden I looked and I went, sorry, and I'm backing up. Here there was tape down there, but this was a classy dollar store, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
not at all. And their tape was the same color as the floor. It was like a concrete color. And they just had duct tape down. I didn't even notice it. And she kept staring us down. Well, you know, anybody that has, did you have a sister, Justin?
No, just a brother.
Okay. Do you know how giggly teenage girls are?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So my teenage granddaughters started laughing. They couldn't stop. They were trying to hold it back and they couldn't stop because she kept giving us the death stare.
Wow.
Finally, she says, well, just worry about your effing self and not anybody else. And then my granddaughters really started laughing. And meanwhile, I'm checking out. She's staring us down the whole time. So the girls went running out of the store laughing. Oh, she let out this witch cackle like you would not believe. It sounded like a witch because she was mocking the girls. We were outside and could still hear her.
So she was mocking your granddaughters.
Mocking the granddaughters because they were laughing. You know, they're teenage girls. They're seeing this lady acting like she's nuts. Wow. And so they got giggly and they couldn't stop it. And she cackled us all the way. We were outside and could still hear her out in the parking lot.
Wow. Isn't that amazing what people
say? Yeah. So we get in the car. My husband's waiting on us because he doesn't like going in the stores.
Yeah.
We can't talk because now we're all laughing.
Yeah.
We can't even tell him what was the matter. I said, I've never had that much fun in a dollar store in my life.
Well, that's the thing. They're pitting people against each other, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to make it so now, you know, we used to make fun of people that wear masks. Like, you know, 6 months ago, you kind of laugh at people in China always wearing masks, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's like, now it's flip-flop where they're the ones that are mad at you for not wearing a mask.
Right.
And you could almost correlate how much news someone watches based on their kind of idea, right? I mean, you can almost guarantee that lady watches at least an hour of news a night, if not more.
Oh, probably, yeah. And so when we finally quit laughing, I looked at the girls and I said, this is a prime example of what happens when the oxygen is shut off from the brain. And they started laughing again. We had quite the fun time.
Well, at least you didn't get, you know, too riled up about it. So that's
no, good. It was just funny. I just had, you know, it was actually hilarious. But then I was talking to another girl yesterday and she said her father was approached in Walmart because he didn't have a mask on by a man that had a mask telling him how he was not doing his part. He was not being responsible. It was enough where the Walmart manager had to come up and get him apart. And then the Walmart manager really apologized to her father. He said, wow. I'm really, really sorry that this happened and was being really good about it. But I said, and then I told the girl, I said, this is just what you said. It's making people divided.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the idea. Now you have a whole sell a marketing campaign. I don't know if you saw the video from Matthew McConaughey. Doing a whole video about how we need to be wearing our masks and it's really important and we need to have the masks on in order to catch up with science because science doesn't have the answers yet. So there's going to be this gap between now and when they have the answers and the mask helps bridge that gap so that we can wait for science to come up with answers. And this is Matthew McConaughey. He's an actor, you know, like
I saw it too. And I thought, I always liked that guy.
My wife was saying. She used to like him.
Yeah.
And now she says he's just creepy.
Yeah.
He kind of is.
Yeah. You know? That's the way I felt. He even looked a little different.
Yeah.
But
I just don't understand. Now they're getting all these people on, you know, these influencers or actors or people with millions of fans to make these videos. And, you know, it's obvious to me what they're trying to use, you know, influence, realizing people aren't watching the news that much.
Right.
So now they follow, you know, a Kardashian, and if she says to wear a mask, then we should, you know.
Yeah. I also saw on YouTube where there was a doctor really running down Judy Mikovits.
Okay.
And, really running her down. Of course, he used this because he's a physician, you know, so they're putting that on there. I thought, YouTube knows what they're doing, don't they?
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
That's wild. I'm just saying another article here that says Costco employee boosts customer and takes their cart for refusing to wear a mask.
Wow.
It's everywhere. Well,
I went to a UPS store and they made you wear a mask. I wouldn't have put the thing on it. I had to get something back to Amazon. And so here, my husband had one out in the truck that he had to wear someplace.
Uh-huh.
And so I came back out and got the mask on, and there was a whole fence around the people. And I had the code on my phone that they had to scan for the return.
Okay.
I had to hold it by that fence, and the girl put her little thingy up against it. And then she had me lay my item on a table behind me. And wow. She said, when the lobby's empty, I'll come out and get it. But she said, you can go.
Whew, that's unreal.
And then there's my hydrocolon therapist, who we walk in the door, we give each other a hug.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's like, when will they ever get it? She goes,
Then there's another cool thing over the weekend when we stayed with my daughter for a little bit. Here, some neighbors of theirs had a party, and they almost live in I don't know if you've ever been in Amish territory much, Amish country. That's kind of like it is in that area. There's a lot of fences and trees and creeks. And here, a neighbor of theirs had a big party, mm-hmm. and they, nobody wore a mask. Everybody, they hired this guy that usually works the wineries and bars in Columbus. And he said, I'll come play for nothing. He's just a one man band. And everybody was just having a blast. They had food, and this one neighbor went and made a bunch of different craft beers that he was letting people taste. And they just were having a big old hoedown.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
And there was two cops there that were at the party. So, you know, not everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's encouraging, you know. I saw a thing on that I had it pulled up already, but it was a photo of a sign in front of someone's store, and it says, no face masks allowed in store. Lower your mask or go somewhere else. Stop listening to Pritiker. He's a dumbass.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
If you can't comply with store policy or of our employees' safety, I suggest you shop somewhere else.
Where's this?
This is just a picture posted online that I had saved from a couple days ago, but it looks like a handwritten sign in front of a store somewhere.
Did it say stop listening to Pritzker? Because that's our governor.
Oh, Pritiker. Yeah. Is that your governor?
It's Pritzker. Pritzker.
Okay. Yeah. Pritzker.
Yeah.
Okay. So that he's in Ohio then?
Illinois.
Oh, I'm sorry. Illinois. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This must be a local place. I can send you the image if you want.
Yeah. That's a riot.
Wow. That's funny.
I'm very close to the Wisconsin border, Rebecca. So we have a lot of Amish. That's a big Amish area too.
Oh.
If you go drive.
Now, what suburb are you from?
Crystal Lake.
Oh, okay. I think I may have heard of that.
Crystal Lake. It's 50 miles from Chicago, northwest.
Now, my sister-in-law lives in Naperville. How close is that to that?
It's straight south, about an hour and a half.
Okay.
We do everything by time.
Oh, yeah. See, we go by miles. Most people do time.
I thought you'd be by the oak tree over on the corner. You turn right.
yeah, that's about right.
That's so right.
Oh, geez. Well, the little country store that's about 3 miles from here, I went there the other day, and she said somebody turned her in, somebody that came in that little country store turned her into the health department, and they came in there and told her she had to wear a mask. And she said, I can't wear those masks. She goes, I get bad, bad headaches wearing them. And it was, oh, well. And she said, I can't be running. Like they have like meat saws, I think, or slicers and stuff. She goes, I can't run that equipment wearing a mask. If she doesn't, they're going to fine her. So there were four women working in that store that morning, and they were all complaining, all of them. They said how awful it is. And then they were talking like we do. They were all saying this is all another agenda, and they were all mad, but they have to wear it.
I had to put one on to go into the UPS store like you. I had to do that. And it was so funny because I put one on, and I go in because I had to get something mailed. And then I have to see, right? To write. Uh-huh. So I put my glasses on. My glasses fog up. And I'm like, this is, you know, how do you guys navigate this? You know, I'm like wiping off my glasses and then trying to, you know.
Well, my granddaughter had to wear a mask, go to the orthodontist. So once she's sitting in the lobby, they wouldn't let her take it off till she actually got in the room to get her whatever they do.
What sense does that? That's so bizarre. Yeah.
And the orthodontist doesn't like it, but she has to comply.
Well, my husband was teaching indoors for up until about
2 weeks ago.
And it's a warehouse. It's a warehouse that he teaches in the back where he has a net set up. And he only, you had what, how many? You have one student at a time or two?
Yeah, sometimes two.
One, but they had to meet him. They meet him at the door. Then he walks him into where his thing is. Well, there's an office up front, but they don't go into the office. He got a call from their security guy, because they have cameras.
Oh, no.
That said that those kids have to have a mask on. And Jay's like, are you kidding? I don't. So he just quit teaching. He said, screw it. I'm not going to do this.
Oh, I don't blame him.
Good. I don't blame him either.
So he went to now that they're kind of loosening the laws a little bit. He still can't be out on the practice range, but he did talk to the owner of the golf course, who said he could set up a little chipping and putting area, or chipping area, not putting, because you need a green, but chipping area that's away from where people go to tee off and have students there. But, you know, I hope nobody, you know, gives them a hard time, but no one's going to have masks on.
No, good. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, he does all the shopping for us, so he does put a mask on to go into the store to do it. I don't know how he does, you know, he just said, hey, I want, you know, he goes to 4 or 5 stores looking for organic stuff. So he's like always in and out, but.
Oh, man.
They wouldn't let him in if he didn't have it on.
Wow. Hey, Jody and Beck, unfortunately, I have to go. I'm supposed to be home 5 minutes ago.
You know what? That's good anyways, because I got to go back. What time is it? 3:00. Yeah. I was only going to pop on for a bit.
Yeah. And I got on late. It's great to see you.
Yeah. Great to see you guys. I love it when you guys are on. So it's so much fun. Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
I did come on yesterday, but nobody was on, but it was a
little late. I did too. Nobody was on.
Oh, it was about 3:00 when I checked, because it was late for me. And I thought, well, I'm just going to see anyway.
Yeah, I was on, then I went off, and then I got a notification that you came on. So.
Oh,
yeah,
did you?
I love your house, by the way.
Come on. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah.
I love your house, Becca.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really bad? I started thinking I looked like the Tiger King. I was decorating way before that show ever got on. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in Carol Baskin's house.
That's so great.
All right, guys.
Okay, right. Nice seeing you.
Love you guys. Thanks so much.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.